Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 73 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit them at saatchiart.com. Well, you asked, and I listened. After I wrote about this artist's dreamy, washy abstract works a few weeks ago, I got a lot of comments and emails saying, please have her on the podcast. And so here she is. My guest today is Polish-born, US-based artist and illustrator, Marta Spendowska. Gee, I sure hope I got that right. Let's call her and find out. Hi, Marta.
Hi, Danielle. Krisa.
Spendowska.
Perfect.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
You say my name better than my husband.
Is he American?
Yes, he's American.
Yeah.
Yes. But I kept my name, which we talk about for the last 8 years. That's all I heard.
Well, I took my husband's Polish name.
Yeah, why did you do that? Actually, he just told me, we were just chatting before, and I said, oh, Daniel is married to a Polish guy, and he sends his condolences.
Yeah. Yeah, I changed my name. I did not like my maiden name, and I liked Krisa quite a bit, and so I changed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so I have so many things to ask you.
Thank you.
And I hear, of course, and I hear from my Instagram community that you have quite a story.
I think so, maybe.
And I don't know it at all. So I am so excited to hear, because I wanted to have you on just because I love your work. And then people were like, you have to have her on because her story is amazing. And I was like, win-win. Double score. Yeah. I get great work and get to write about you again and hear your story.
Well, I'm really honored. Thank you, Daniel. I'm really, really happy to be here. And I was really honored to see those comments from people I know and I admire. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's so nice. Such a good community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just, while I was waiting for Skype to turn on, I went and looked on my site to see how many times I've written about you and when and what. So the first one was in 2013. And mm-hmm. I wrote about some of your illustration stuff. So some perfume bottles and some patterns. Way back. Then in 2015, I wrote about your beautiful florals.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 10 minutes ago, just a couple weeks ago, I wrote about your abstract work.
Yeah, it's so, kind of abstract florals too.
Yeah. And we go way back, but we've never talked. And so, this is so cool. So let's hear this awesome story. Let's go back to wherever you want to start the story, when you were a kid, or where did this all start?
Yeah, now I feel pressured to embellish my story.
I know, just make stuff up. No one's gonna know.
Well, some of them know because they probably heard it. I don't think it's that extremely interesting, but I think it's a little different, you know?
Yeah.
To some degree. And I think for most immigrants, the story is a little bit fascinating, maybe, because it usually starts ugly and then maybe something good comes out of it. As a child, I was always creative and I always painted. My mom always said that she's lucky because all I need is crayons, and she's, you know, her motherly duties are done, basically.
That's That was the same as me. She could just give me art supplies and leave me alone. Okay, go on.
Exactly. Yeah. So my father also painted. You know, he's an amateur oil painter. He never really pursued that, but he's very creative. He works with his hands. Since I remember, he would sew his own suits.
Wow.
And he's very, very creative. And now his garden is just beautiful. He pours all his energy into the garden. So I think that creativity comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
They both definitely always encouraged the painting. And I was always that, you know, talented kid at school who paints. You know, well,
mm-hmm.
But it really wasn't my focus until later in life. I thought I would become a writer. That was my interest, really. I was really in love with words since I remember. And the painting was coming, you know, to me easily. And I think maybe that's why you just feel like, oh, it's just like a side thing. Mm. You know, like a kid, you paint and create little things. But yeah, so that's the beginning. I was always creative, that's for sure. I always had my crayons, you know, nearby. That's the beginning of the story, like every kid.
Yeah. And did you think when you, so, okay, did you think that you'd go to school for writing, or were you writing through high school and things like that?
I was always writing, and I was really loving poetry and, you know, James Joyce. It was just very, very amazing time in my life. So I actually ended up in a very prestigious high school because of writing. And the writing always got me places. Mm. I almost met Björk in Paris because of writing competition. So wow. I was runner up out of the whole Europe. So it was really amazing. I love words. I always thought I'd become a writer. So I went to study journalism. But it didn't feel right. I was immature at that time. I'm sure, like all of us, you know, yeah. 19, 18 or something like that. I have a problem with space, time, and length. Thank God for apps. I never know. I always call my mom when I have to fill out any paperwork. When do they graduate? I don't remember. But anyway, so I went to study journalism, but it didn't feel right. I didn't really want to be a journalist, but I wanted to.
Was that in Poland, or where were you at the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Poland. It was university, and I just felt that. You know, today I know it was immature. I wanted to be a writer. I didn't want to write about other writers, you know.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel right. So I eventually actually graduated with master's in marketing, which was totally out of the blue when I've decided about this. But I did because I felt like, I was all in my head. And I needed something that was very far away from me so I can really ground myself. And I think that's why I wanted to go towards something that doesn't interest me. Uh-huh. And pushes me forward into, and I can detach from, you know?
Yeah.
So I would study marketing, but I would go to the movies every day and watch like French Wave movies. I was always into arts and that kind of energy, but then I would study something that at that time I wasn't really interested in. So that's how it kind of evolved. I almost went to art school. I visited a professor from art academy in Wrocław. I brought her my portfolio, and she said she thinks I should try. And that was a confirmation enough for me, like a confirmation for my talent, and I decided not to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend who had 1 year medical leave from art academy, and I didn't want to end up like him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know your story.
And yeah.
It's even worse in Poland, because then I studied in America and I can compare the relationships between teachers, students. It's so different in Poland. It's horrifying. And at art into that and critiques, and yeah, you end up on a medical leave. So I never really wanted to go that way.
Yeah, no kidding. Wait, well, you're not going to know. You're going to have to call your mom. But like, what year was that, roughly?
When what?
When you said no to the art school.
Well, that was right after high school. So instead of going to the art academy, I went to study that journalism.
Okay.
So I was, I don't know, 18, something like that.
Okay. And was that in the, I don't know how old you are. Let's say, was that in the 90s? Was that, when was that?
Oh my gosh. I don't, 90s, I think. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Just checking. Okay.
I mean, my 30s now. So it was just a regular, you know, teenager trying to, well, a regular teenager, you finish high school and you go to the university.
Yeah.
I thought about art school, but it didn't happen. So I ended up in Łódź, which is near Warsaw, at the university, and this is where I graduated from that university in marketing.
And so did you go off and get a marketing job?
Well, you know, no, not really, because I came really here almost right after graduating. So when I was doing my fourth year at the university, I decided the Poland was changing already because the borders opened up for Europe and everything started changing. And some people started leaving even Europe to study abroad. So I had a chance to actually do my internship in America. Mm. And I decided to do that. And that was that big breakthrough and change. I came to Atlanta, Georgia for 6 months, and I was supposed to do something related to my university, but I said, screw it, I don't want to do that. And because nobody was really verifying what I'm doing, I've decided to really experience America because it was a total cultural shock for me. So I decided to make some money by, you know, waitressing, cleaning. My English wasn't that good, so I had to kind of pick up those kinds of jobs. And then I met amazing artists and people who showed me, art and libraries and fashion shows. It was just amazing, amazing time. That was the time when I really, you know, thought that there is more to my life than what I've already, you know, decided maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that breakthrough. I sold my first painting in Atlanta. I was painting just in that little tiny room that I was renting. And, when I got the first, it was $20 for a small painting, which actually could pay for a lot in Poland. I thought that that's maybe a little signal that I can do something here. You know, America was amazing. I was just in shock. I was just in love. So I thought that maybe there is a way to come back and try, try to live here.
So did you have to go back after those 6 months?
Yes, I went back. I graduated, and I had a friend who actually, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had a friend who was somewhere else. And she came back too. We graduated, and we were kind of unhappy with the result of graduation.
Yeah.
meaning what to do with your life.
Yeah.
And she called me, and she said, I remember I was on the train to Poland, to Jawor, to see my parents. And she called me, and she said, Marta, what do you think? Maybe we can come back to the States. And it took me 2 seconds to decide to ditch everything. I had a life there, and I had a boyfriend and everything, and I've decided to try to come back. It was very hard to even figure out how, because nothing was really keeping me in Poland that would prove that, you know, to American government that I'm not coming here to steal the jobs.
Right.
So it was kind of out of reach, but I thought maybe there is a way to figure this out. So I've decided to leave right away. And I told my parents, and I said, there is no way I can do anything here. And Poland was really in bad shape at that time still. So.
And what did your parents think?
You know, I can't remember. They were always encouraging, and they knew that it wasn't easy to live and work in Poland. And they knew I'm kind of free-spirited. I'm not going to just have a corporate job and be happy.
Right.
You know, initially I said, I'm going to go for 6 months and see how I feel. So I think they were okay. I don't remember. See, that's my memory.
You were already gone. You're like, I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah.
And are they still in Poland now, or are they in the States too?
Yes.
Okay, so how did you get yourself over there?
So I um you know, I had to make a plan. So I basically, you have to prove to the government that you really have roots. And I personally didn't have a house or a marriage or kids or anything like that. And there was no fortune. So I've decided to call up a bunch of people and family, and I borrowed a lot of money, a month or two before I applied. And I put this the whole thing in my bank. And I took a bank statement with all the rest of the paperwork. And I just made sure that the guy who was interviewing me, he thought I'm kind of wealthy. And that really worked. Because this was the way to show him that I can really come to the States and travel for 6 months, you know, and have money for that. That was the only way to prove that I'm not coming here to trying to figure out my life. It had to look like I'm just traveling around.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's what happened. I mean, the money in my bank really helped. There was a lot of weird things in the meantime that were kind of interesting, but eventually, you know, I actually saw him as the last person in line. And after some tumultuous situations with him, and I came back as the last person, and he looked in my eyes, and he knew I'm lying, but he looked at me and he said, "You better make it, you know, work." And it was so amazing. That was a Polish guy working for the American
embassy. Yeah,
and it was amazing to see that Polish clerk can be that nice, you know, because they're really tough people.
Yeah
they still remember the communistic times, so he was
well
really
that's
nice.
That's why I asked you when all this was happening, because my husband was born in Poland. But their family left in the early 80s during all the Cold War stuff, and they like had to escape basically and lived in a refugee camp in Italy, and then had to have people. They came to Canada because they had an uncle here, and he was able to get them here. And this was when my husband was like 10, and so he's grown up in Canada. But yeah, like some of the stories he has are just kind of crazy.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I always say in some of the interviews, when people ask me how did you come here, I always say, well, I came here with legally, and I didn't come here wrapped in a carpet,
yeah.
Because people would really come wrapped in a carpet on ships, you know, boats and things like that earlier, not during my time, but
yeah,
you know, I always say that because it's that difficult, and Poland has very difficult time. Polish people to come here. It's much different with Czech Republic and other countries. For some reason, we are feared here.
That's so crazy. And so you came, and it was supposed to be another 6 months?
Yeah, it's supposed to be only 6 months of traveling. I didn't have a permit to work, and I'm telling you all the secrets. Please don't call anyone.
No, I know. Can you talk about this, or are you going to get a call right after this?
No, I can. I'm married here. Everything's fine.
Okay.
There was a time when I wouldn't tell you that.
Yeah.
But yes, I was working. I promise I paid all my taxes. I had to, and all my friends do, because, you know, you can get in trouble afterwards if you want to stay here. So anyways, I started getting simple jobs, and the simple jobs meant, you know, working for gas stations and hotels. And that was happening for, I think, 2-3 years. Then I started waitressing when my English was much better. And but there was a time when I was, you know, wiping, you know, like crap from the floor, thinking, geez, I have masters, you know, I have so much school behind me. How did I end up here? But I always had that goal that I knew something was pushing me, and something was telling me this is meant to be. And by the way, as I have a kind of woo-woo family, especially on my mother's side, and we've always seen psychics and tarot readers and mm-hmm. people like that since I was a young child. And there was a kind of family friend who was always reading cards for us. And she said that I will be living here even before that my first American trip, which was really weird because mm-hmm. I never dreamed of that, never thought I have a chance. So she predicted a bunch of things like my husband and my career, which is weird.
Wow.
But maybe I had that in the back of my mind and that trust that I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
It just, I need to go through that kind of a crappy period of having those jobs and, you know, serving donuts and, you know, cleaning toilets.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Well, and I mean, I guess if you want it bad enough, then you,
mm-hmm.
did you ever have a point where you just wanted to go home or were you like, no, I'm toughing this out?
No, I've never had that point. I mean, there were times when I felt that it might take a long time to get what I want. I really wanted to go to school here, and I eventually did a college here in design and communication, but I got rejections, you know, from a government. They didn't want me to go to school. It was a lot of hassle and paperwork. So that was kind of soul drenching.
Yeah.
But I was just pushing forward, you know, until I've decided if I see a letter when they tell me I need to leave the country,
mm-hmm.
until then I'm going to try to push it and see my way out of this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, my gosh, you certainly have.
Yes. I know. It's so good.
Yes. And you know what's so funny is one of my questions for you is, you are so good at marketing yourself. And maybe it's that marketing degree that you didn't really care about.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I don't think it taught me so much, but I think it helped me to think.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me to know how to focus in certain areas. Because before I was really all in my head, you know, mm-hmm. I was just an artist and I didn't have any ground for that. And I think just because I had to study all those soulless things sometimes, it really helped me to detach. And I think that really helps me today.
Yeah.
That really. Mm-hmm.
It's probably a combo of that and wanting it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have to fight, when you're selling donuts and cleaning toilets and you have to fight so hard to stay where you want to stay and make mm-hmm. your work and whatever, then hell yeah, once you're making your work, you're going to try and sell it.
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to be a quiet wallflower who's like, well, you know, take it or leave it. It's like,
exactly.
You've worked hard to be where you are.
Yeah. And you know, I had to show, I really grew here as a person so much through all those challenges and everything. You know, I always feel like when you are on your own, this is the only way to really grow as a person, as a business owner. And I've been shy as a kid to some degree. I mean, I was maybe withdrawn, but I had to open up here because I had to deal with everything and, you know, with paperwork, with getting jobs, with dealing with everything, with my poor English. So that really helped me to get where I am. I mean, there was no time for shyness and no way to be shy and, you know.
Yeah, that's so inspiring. Mm-hmm. And so what did you think of the art school experience in the States?
Well, it was a two-year college. It was great. I mean, I remember I was just shocked that the kids were, you know, talking to teachers like that, like, you know, like it's your friend, that they are actually here to help you. It was shocking because, if you know, if you study in Poland, it's a huge drama and stress. It's so different here. The teachers are really nice and they are on your side, which is what? Amazing. So that was really a shock for me. It was nice. It was easy.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was easy. Yeah, but it was really nice. Yeah, I think just studying here, I really wanted to have a paper from the school in the States. I felt like maybe I don't have to, but it would be nice to have a paperwork. There was a time when I wanted to work for ad agency, which I did for some time after school. So that helped me to.
Mm-hmm. And so did you focus on illustration at first then?
No, it was actually design.
Okay.
So I was designing, and I worked for two agencies afterwards. It was a short time. I very quickly decided I'm good on my own. But I was designing, and I was working with print and web.
Okay.
For quite a while. Hmm. Yeah.
And then yes. Where did y'all, because when we first sort of connected about 3 years ago or something, your portfolio was very illustration focused, like textile mm-hmm. patterns and, you know, those beautiful perfume bottles and all of that stuff. And so is that how you were like, okay, this is how I'll make money with art, or how did that?
So I was always painting. Those were my, you know, it started with having free time to paint. Mm-hmm. And then I started incorporating this into design, and I was asked to incorporate it more and more. Through either some freelance design work or through my agency. And when that started kind of picking up, I painted more and more. And eventually, my agent, Illustration LTD, they contacted me, and because I had some body of work, even if it was self-initiated work, they really saw potential, and they've decided to take me on.
Mm.
And when they did, it really started happening more. So, yeah, I mean, I've always had that. I was interested in fashion illustration and product illustration because it was appearing more and more in my design work. I've discovered that I really want to do it. And design started being a little bit, I mean, it was nice and I still love it, but I've always wanted to sit and paint. So when the illustration started to picking up, I decided to focus more on that. So
yeah.
I pulled bigger portfolio and bigger offering, and that's where it all started, you know, mm-hmm. happening for me. So yeah, that's how it all.
And then, so when you were doing that stuff, were you doing your own kind of things on the side, like the florals?
Yeah.
Oh, you were.
Yes, exactly. So see, now I see a pattern myself. So everything kind of started in the background. So illustration started in the background, and then it slowly started appearing in my work. And the same with the illustration. I work a lot within the illustration business, and at some point I really wanted to paint for myself. Self-initiated work. So I, you know, in my free time, I started doing more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not really to sell too much, but I have a friend who is a professor here and in an art department, and she really loved my work. And she asked me to enter a biennial here in the Museum of Wisconsin. And when I got in, I was kind of shocked. And that was also a moment when I realized that maybe I can push that more.
And what kind of work was that? What did that look like?
It was actually a portraiture of Virginia Woolf.
Oh.
Because I would not call it illustrative work, because it was a fine art. I was still in that portraiture mm-hmm. world, because I always loved portraiture. So it was a portrait of her. And then I got another Richardson Gallery. I don't remember exactly. It was an international competition. And I got in too with another portraiture of Leonora Carrington. And that also, it was like pushing me into direction of fine art. And then I've decided maybe the abstract work I was always doing the portraiture and florals, and the abstract work just came. I think I got a little tired. of doing so much illustrative work, illustrations, everything was, you know, either portraiture or fashion. And I really wanted to do an abstract for myself. So it also started in the background.
There's a theme developing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that mainly all you're doing now then?
Yeah. So I work with my agency. There are some clients that came before them. So I still have those clients. It's mainly either editorial illustration or licensing product illustration.
Yeah.
And then, so that's my illustration world. And then I have fine art. Yeah. And that's all I do. No design.
Wow.
It's been really, really great. Yeah.
So awesome. I mm-hmm. always wondered because, you know, like your site is set up, like you're so good at selling and marketing yourself and putting everything out there. And, but I, because, you know, we've sort of email known each other for years, mm-hmm. I've kind of been watching this thing, you know, mm-hmm. and I swing past your site every now and then just to see what's going on. And it still looks like you, but it evolves and it evolves
yeah.
and it evolves. And, you know, slowly you start to see the illustration drop off a little bit more. And mm-hmm. then, you know, and it's just been such a pleasure to watch. And so what's your favorite thing? Like, is it the abstracts now and gold leaf?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think abstract is just mine.
Yeah.
So it's always, I don't see an end to it. I mean, it's going to evolve, but that's, I landed in a very comfortable and beautiful spot, you know?
Yeah.
I feel really, really good with what I'm doing. But there was a time when I thought, should I just focus on fine art and gallery work? And, you know, after a month of thinking, I knew I would be missing on the commissioned illustration work.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that too. I love that client interaction. You know, they come to me and they say, you have a day and I have to really work fast. The money is good. So I would never leave that part.
And it probably makes you appreciate the fine art part too, you know, like to have that balance to flip back and forth.
Yeah, and you know, I get bored easily and I'm very impatient. So that kind of it's a totally different way of working. It's like a highway with the
yeah.
illustration, fast, you know, you work within that kind of a world of design.
Yeah.
And client driven, you know. And then there is this very slow life of fine art, which I appreciate, but I think I would get bored.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say if you were just doing fine art, I bet you in yeah. the background, you'd start doing product illustration.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you'd be an illustrator again.
Yeah.
And so can I ask, how did you meet your husband and all of that?
I was very, at that time, I was very much into a health, you know, things. So actually I became a raw vegan foodist. I've always been vegetarian, then I was vegan. I was really experimenting with that kind of, this, you know, my health. And I was raw vegan and he was raw vegan in his city. And we both came to the same place for a 5-day workshop.
Oh.
And we met there. So we met there. Yeah.
Wow. And so what does he think of all your art stuff?
Well, he loves it. He has an eye for art for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very supportive and loves it. So he's my guide, you know, to go to and ask, do you see something wrong with that?
Yeah. Isn't that so nice to have a partner like that? Is he artistic at all?
He wouldn't say that, but I think he is. He has this, I think he has a talent to draw, but also to decorate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see a lot of that. Yeah. He's in a different, he's a partially a chiropractor. He also works with investments, but there is that creative part in him mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah.
And were you already like a illustrator artist when you met him?
I was definitely painting.
Yeah.
And I think I was a little bit, you know, I did a little bit of few jobs here and there, even before I went to school. There were like local people, you know, knowing that I did a yoga advertisement and they hired me for something. So okay. I've always been that kind of showing that creative side. So I think when we met, I've already been doing some, but it wasn't to the, you know, on that scale.
Right,
but
now, right. Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious if you'd met at art school or what he was like, but yeah, that is so, it's so nice to have a partner mm-hmm. in your corner who believes in this creative life. You know, I just did spoke at a conference on the weekend and talked to a few people because we were talking about inner critics and whatever. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the women actually said that the voice in their head that they were, it was their inner critic was their husband. And that broke my heart. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you can, it's just so great if you have a partner, you know, for men or mm-hmm. women or whatever, just that can support you being a creative person.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
totally.
So it's so great that you, I'm so thrilled that you have that. That's.
Yeah. You know, I've never had anyone who was not supportive. I mean, there were people who were just, you know, like, how should I say, they didn't care much, but I've never had anyone really criticizing me to the point when I couldn't move on.
Yeah.
But I saw this happening to, as I said, my boyfriend some time ago, and I know it can crush a person. He was a great painter who couldn't, you know, do anything for a year because of the criticism he received. So I can see how it can crush someone. It's terrible.
Yeah, it terrible. Is. It's heartbreaking. I hate hearing those stories. So this is a good story to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I have a funny, not so speedy speed round for you.
Good.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. This one is because of my husband.
Uh-huh.
Would you or have you ever eaten frozen pierogies?
My God, no. I mean, you mean frozen?
Like frozen from the grocery store and you buy a bag of pierogies?
Oh, okay, but not frozen.
No, no. But would you buy them like just from the grocery store?
Yes, but don't tell anyone.
See, when I met my husband, he was like, he would only eat his mom's pierogies.
Yeah.
And so, but I really love them, but I don't know how to make them. And his parents, they're in Canada, but they're in Ontario. And so, and we were living on the West Coast, and there was this little sort of market, and they sold these little mini pierogies. They were fresh, these little mini pierogies. And I brought them home, and he's like, what are those? And I said, oh, they're called potato pockets. And he was like, oh. Okay, because they didn't really look like pierogies. And so anyway, I made them for dinner. We ate them. He's like, oh, my God, these are so good. And I was like, ha, they're pierogies.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, don't tell my mom.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not really a cook. I'm not into cooking too much unless I really have a good day for that. So I found those kashas pierogies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are not bad. Yeah.
Okay, well, we won't tell your parents. We'll keep it just a secret on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. If you only could wear one thing every day for the rest of your life, what would that one thing be? It can be a whole outfit, but what would you wear every day?
I would have some nice good jeans, black leather jacket, and high heels.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could not do that. I cannot do high heels.
I love, well, it's not like really thin high heels, but nice boots with nice chunky heel.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm definitely kind of this kind of girl. Yeah.
Okay. I love it. That paints a picture. What was your first summer job? Did you have summer jobs?
Yeah, little jobs, you know, like strawberry picking.
Mm.
I think that was my first job. I did a lot of counseling. When I would go for 2 weeks with kids from poor families, and I would take care of them.
Yeah, yeah.
On a camp. So I was doing this since I was young, very young.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. It was nice to see, you know.
Yeah.
Those kids really need a lot of love, and it's very gratifying.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They clench to you for the 2 weeks. They just, it's amazing.
Oh. How old were, you don't know. We'll call your mom and find out how old you were when you did that.
You know, I really was, I think 14 when I went for the first time. And
wow.
I would do some laundry for them or things like that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so nice. That's a great summer job.
Yes.
I did not have good summer jobs, but anyway, that's another story. Okay, this is the last one. Where would your dream show be hung? If you could have a show anywhere in the world, any gallery, where would you want to do it?
I think Walker Art Center.
Oh.
I just came from Minneapolis. I went there last weekend, and I still love it. That's my memory. I've always thought that when I came here, it was Atlanta, Georgia, when I saw Georgia O'Keeffe and Jackson Pollock for the first time in a museum, and I cried when I saw the originals. So I'm like, I'm coming from little town Yavor, and I can see them in person. It was just so shocking and amazing. But it wasn't. It was Walker Art Center a long time ago because, so it was amazing to come back this weekend. I didn't see any Jackson Pollock, but I saw some other artists that I like. And I think that's the place to be. I think that's where I would like to see my painting.
Oh, I love it. That is a beautiful gallery. I was there a few years ago, and it's a good one.
Yeah, it's
I think that's good to put out in the universe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I will.
Okay,
I will.
There we go. It's out there. that was my last question.
Okay, fantastic.
Did we miss anything?
No,
I think we got it all in there.
Yeah.
Well, this is so good because now I have an excuse because I just wrote about you, but now it's like, well, she's on the podcast. I have to do a write-up all over again. And this time I can put in everything, the perfume bottles, the flowers, the abstracts, all of it.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say, because I think people might, I've received some emails about that. It is hard, I have to say, to combine the illustration with the fine art. Not in a way that it's hard to paint. It's not. But to send a message to either collectors or collaborators, it's not that easy to combine such different areas, you know?
Right.
So,
Your site does a pretty good job, though, of dividing it up.
Yeah, you know, I kind of hid the illustration a little bit.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to confuse anyone, but then my illustration work appears on a bunch of sites that are curated by my agent. So a lot of clients come to their website and see my work or the website that they put my work on.
Right.
So I kind of am more hosting my fine art on my website. The rest just comes mostly through them, which is fine. I mean, I've really struggled with that for a while, and I know a lot of artists do.
Yeah.
You know, who have some illustrative work and then you want to go the abstract way. So there is a way to combine it, but I feel like it has to show boundaries.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's confusing.
Well, and I think you've done a good job recently, like, because the fine art outweighs the illustration. So you can kind of see what your priority is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But yeah, that is a bit tricky. I find it hard with me too, like even with Jealous Curator and then my collages, like I don't know. Yeah, it's like, how do you combine those? I don't want to combine them, but I am one person. So how do you tell that story without confusing the whole situation? I don't know that answer either right now. Like that's sort of where I am too, where I'm like, how do I explain all of this?
Do you see your work going to exhibitions? I think you are going to have one, or did you have one?
Yeah, I've Yeah, I've been
just the collage.
Yeah, my collages. Yeah, I've been in a few little group shows lately, and I think I could probably do a lot more with it if I chose to. But I, yeah, like I say, I'm in a weird spot right now because I've just quit design after 18 years.
Yes, and, congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, I feel like my big jump right now is Jealous Curator, like trying to make, you know, trying to make this my big thing. And so, you know, people, but at the same time as that, this body of collage work that I love so much is kind of taken off. And so everybody's saying, jump with that. But it's like, whoa, but I'm jumping with Jealous Curator. So it feels like two jumps at once. It's like, that's a lot of jumping. And so I'm trying to just balance it all right now and just be like, okay, priorities. Jealous Curator is like my heart and soul. And I really want, you know, it to succeed. And I love everything, like with the new book and the podcast and like so many fun things are happening that I really want to nurture them. But then at the same time, I love my collages so much, but I'm kind of just keeping those kind of, like you said, like in the background right now. I think that they're my little love affair that I'm having on the side. And when the time is right, they'll come out, but I don't know that the time is right. So it will be one day. I just need to have that feeling of here we go. And I just don't have that feeling yet.
Yeah. But you know, it's good that it all, the Jealous Curator is happening under the Jealous Curator umbrella, and the work is happening under your own name.
Yeah, yeah. I keep those very separate, but I totally know what you mean. It's like, it's like having dual personalities, and so it's just a matter of walking that line and knowing. I mean, like I said, you're very inspiring. You know, you've always known what you want to do. You put your head down and you get it done. And it's,
and my psychic knew. Don't forget.
That's right. There you go. Maybe I need to go get my cards read and see what to do next.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so much for doing this. I appreciate it so much. And yeah, the post will be up on my site this coming weekend.
Well, thank you, Danielle. It was so nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
And say hello to husband.
Yes,
Polish,
you do.
Polish
That's
husband.
That's right. I will. I'll tell him that, you know, you eat the occasional non-mama cooked pierogi as well.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Danielle.
Okay,
take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, yes. Any episode that finishes up with psychics and pierogies has to be a good one. I love that Marta has trusted her instincts while working so hard to make her dreams a reality. What have you got going on in the background? It might actually be worth taking a closer look. Thank you so much to Marta for doing this with me. Thanks to Saatchi Art for supporting the episode. And of course, thank you so much for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.